We continue to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 25, named The Characteristics of King Puranjan, text number 50. Please repeat. Pirtur nripa puryadvar, Pirtur nripa puryadvar, Dakshinena Puranjana, Dakshinena Puranjana. Rastram dakshina pancharang, rastram dakshina yati shruta daranvita, yata shruta daran. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. And purport. The southern gate of the city was known as Pitrihu, and through that gate King Puranjan used to visit the city named Dakshina Panchala, accompanied by his friend Shrutadhar. Purport. The right ear is used for karma kandiya, or fruit of activities. As long as one attaches to the enjoyment of material resources, he hears from the right ear and uses the five senses to elevate himself to the higher planetary systems, like Pitriloka. Consequently, the right ear is here described as the Pitrihu gate. Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyanangyana Salakya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmaya Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bistang Slapitang Yena Bhutale Svayang Rupaka Dhamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Pandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapada Kamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Sya Sri Rupam Sakra Jatam Sakana Rakanatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadhaitam Savadutam Parichana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Svitam Sya Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bando Jagatpate, Gopisha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavanishwari, Vishubhanu Sutadevi, Pranamami Hari Priye, Vansha Kalpatarubhyasya, Kripa Sindhubhyayabacha, Patithanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namaha, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhunichananda, Sri Adhaira Gadhara, Swasri Gaurabhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Kam Kuroti Vatsalam Pankum Mankaite Krim Jat Kripatam Phane Sri Guru Dinatarinam Sri Man Rasa Rasa Rambir Vam Sifata Tastita Karshan Venu Sanar Gopir Gopinata Stite Sri Sri Estunaha Pitrihur Nipapurya Dvar Dakshina Napuranjanaha Rastram Dakshina Panchalam Yati Shruta Dharanvita. So here is mentioned about hearing. Yesterday, Gopinath Acharya Puri gave a very nice class about the austerities of speech. And like he was saying, this very short purport, and I was, of course, tempted to go to the next purport, which is a little bit longer. But he inspired me that he was yesterday saying that, you know, we should just meditate on this urge to speak. And he recited very nice sloka from Bhagavad Gita. And like that today, we can meditate on hearing. Of course, it's very significant. Let me first say one other thing. I made some notes. One thing here mentioned is Pitriloka, Pitrihur, and this refers to the planet of the Pitas, or the forefathers. Pita means father. So in one sense, because this right ear here is described by Srila Prabhupada as the right ear is used for karma kandiya, or fruit of activities. So generally, persons who go or want to go to Pitrilok, they are a little bit attached to family. They, you know, pray to the forefathers, and thus they will go to the forefathers. Lord Krishna, he explains that in the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 25 verse. I'll just recite it for you. Yanti deva vrata devan, pitri yanti pitri vrataha, bhutani yanti bhuteja, yanti mat yajinopimam. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods, and those who worship the ancestors go to the ancestors, and those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings, and those who worship me will live with me. So here this pitri yanti pitri vrataha, that means the worshippers, pitri vrata, worshippers of ancestors. Vrata also means like a vow, one who is vowed to the forefathers. This is basically in all cultures, even, you know, like in you know, so to speak, outside of Vedic culture, people worship the forefathers. And according to Lord Krishna, that is where ultimately they will go. So, to speak honestly, that is not a very good policy, Prabhupada would say. It's not very high, although it's higher situated in the universe than the earth, which is called Bharatavarsha. It is not one of the higher planetary systems. Like Brahma Lok is even more higher, and then there's other loks. So therefore, Prabhupada explains that it is mainly Karmakanda or Karmakandiya. So, of course, that is not our desire. We want to go to, like Krishna just explained, we want to go to Krishna's planet. And one thing that will be explained also more tomorrow is that, of course, the right ear, as far as I understand, is also used for basically initiation. For maybe you should not say initiation, maybe you should, but at least the Gayatri Mantra is chanted by the Guru in the right ear. So that is, like I said, that will be explained more tomorrow, but I just wanted to mention it shortly, because it's that was the third thing I was thinking when I read this, that what is the right ear? So it's explained, I think, by Sridhar Maharaj, the great commentator on Srimad Bhagavatam, that the right ear is basically for religious principles. In one sense, you could say Karmakandiya, because Karmakandiya means that you follow religious principles, you do the right thing, moral principles, religious principles. And of course, Gayatri Mantra is in one sense the culmination of religious principles. Because Prabhupada explains in the next purport that the left ear is usually used for spiritual knowledge. And it, of course, for me it was a little confusing, but the idea is that, like I said, the right ear, it's stronger, and we should start with that. Like sometimes devotees say, first you should become conscious, and then you should become Krishna conscious. So basically, at least we should follow moral principles, and then when ordered by Krishna or Guru, we could transcend them. What I also understand is that we should at least come to the mode of goodness. Or, as I remember it, Prabhupada used to say, we act in goodness. You see, we want to be transcendental, or we are transcendental to some extent, but we act in goodness. So from that platform, we try to act, which is basically, similar or to this Karmakandiya. It is just basic religious principle. And this whole Gayatri, which was a whole thing when Bhaktisiddhanta introduced that to, you know, basically so-called non-Brahmanas, it was a whole thing in India. Because, you know, that is actually just, it is like, in one sense, it's a cultural thing. It's it also, of course, it has to do very much with deity worship. Prabhupada very clearly established it, that one who has not been twice initiated should not perform deity worship, although sometimes Sri Gaur Nithai they make some exceptions by order of authorities that, you know, sometimes first initiates, or even, you know, in extreme emergency cases, uninitiated devotees will, you know, worship them. But that is, you know, not the standard. So this Gayatri thing is sort of you know, in one sense a cultural thing. In another sense also not, because it's a very secretive mantra, it's a very special mantra. But for instance, Prabhupada, he was commenting on the installation in Krishna Balaram Mandir when the deities were installed. Of course, there's many big sadhus in Vrindavan, you know, brahmanas. I mean, I think we all know that in India, you know, you have brahmanas by birth. And I was reading on the internet that they say, like, yeah, I think the Jews have a similar understanding that, you know, if you like 2-3 generations, your father is not anymore brahmana, then after 2-3 generations, then you're also not anymore a brahmana. Anyway, it's this whole thing they have in India, and it's still very, very strong. Although the government is secular, you know, they don't interfere so-called with religion, but it's still very, very strong in India. And Bhaktisiddhanta Goswami Maharaj, he was going against that, and he was giving initiation to so-called non-brahmanas. Chatur Varnyam Mayasrishnam Guna Karma Vibhagasha, that is Lord Krishna. He's saying that the Chatur Varnya, the four Varnas, is based on Guna, qualities, and Karma, activities. Vibhagasha, that is how it should be divided, not by birth. Prabhupada many times gives the example of a dentist or a judge or a lawyer. Yes, you know, if you are the son of a judge or a doctor or a lawyer, you have a big chance to also get that same, you know, job. But you first have to go to school, generally, and at least you have to get the paper, you have to get the exam. If you go to school or not, sometimes it's given to some very special person. But generally, you just have to go to the school, you have to do the time, 5 years, and then you get it, and then you'll be tested, like a doctor, he's tested with similar doctors. And you know, Krishna consciousness is not different like that. You know, we're also tested. We have Bhakti Shastri, then senior Vaishnavas. They will more or less check you throughout the whole, you know, year. It's not that, you know, your guru, he can just initiate you unless you live in the same temple. Then he knows. But otherwise, he'll go to the temple president and he asks, you know, what about this devotee? Basically, you need a recommendation. So like that, you know, it is checked. Is this person guna, karma? Is his qualities and his activities, are they according to the Brahman standard? So this is the actual standard according to scripture, and in India basically it has been abolished and it's been misused. I think basically because of the brahmanas, they wanted to maintain their power, and Bhaktisiddhanta was going against it. And when Prabhupada was installing these deities in Krishna Balaram Mandir, like I said, it's still very strong in India, so he invited all these so-called smarta brahmanas for the initiation ceremony, and it was all like pompous, and you know, they were chanting mantras and vairagya. And Prabhupada later commented that he said, actually the real initiation ceremony is my devotees chanting Hare Krishna, and all this other is not really necessary. But you know, he did that to appease and to get the respect from the local brahmanas in Vrindavan, because you know, we're preaching. So, but it's just to give you an idea about this right ear thing, that it is just for preliminary. It is stronger, the right ear, but it is for preliminary religious moral principles, and that ultimately spiritual knowledge goes through the left ear. I think most of us know that, like in Western psychology, the left side usually is the emotive side, like the side of the, and I used to teach yoga, we always said the side of the heart. So it's more, in one sense you could say, closer to Krishna, because Krishna, we're just reciting that, he's sitting in the heart. So, but that we will hear more tomorrow, because tomorrow, you know, Narada Muni is discussing the left ear. Today we'll just discuss more the right ear. So, of course, we have this process. Rupa Goswami mentions that in Bhakti Rasarita Sindhu, that Parikshit, he became perfect by hearing. And I'll just give you all of them. Sukadev Goswami by reciting, Prahlad Maharaj by remembering, Srinivatas Vakata Krishna, What is it? Nou, Sravanam. Sravanam. Kirtanam Vishnu. Smaranam Padasevanam. That verse. So, Prahlad Maharaj, by remembering Smaranam Lakshmi, Prabhupada, I looked it up. By massaging the transcendental legs of Mahavishnu, she became perfect. Then Prithu, by deity worship. Akrura, by prayers. He was rolling in the dust of Vrindavan. Hanuman, of course, by service. Arjuna, Prabhupada saying, simply by being Krishna's friend. And Bali Maharaj dedicating everything. So he did basically the whole process, which in one sense we're also doing. But today we'll just try to concentrate a little bit on Parikshit Maharaj. So, of course, when I hear Parikshit Maharaj, I immediately think that Prabhupada says that he had 7 days, but we don't know when we'll die. So we should become very serious about hearing. It's very important. Hearing. Child, I wrote here down, child, he learns the language from the parents. So this is how important is learning. Like before I joined, maybe you also had that experience, but I was thinking that I was gathering knowledge. I understood things and, you know, I was sort of figuring it out by myself. But this is of course a great illusion, because we can't even speak a language without the help of our parents. And this is also, as far as I'm concerned, unexplained by the evolutionist theory. This language, generally they don't touch it. And there's other things, but I won't get into that now. But this language is very special. And Prabhupada, of course, just on a common sense thing, you know, this is Srimad Bhagavatam. Even the most staunch skeptical, he will admit that this is like 1500 years old, at least. You know, of course, according to us, it's been written 5000 years ago. But my point is that this is such profound poetry, such profound knowledge, that, and also the language, Sanskrit. Now, there, I don't know how that is, but, you know, many years ago, they were researching if they could make it into a computer language, because it's such an advanced language. So, like I said, this evolutionists, they don't touch it. They can't really explain this language. And as far as, of course, as we're concerned, Sanskrit is the mother of all languages. And as far as my understanding goes, it's basically being given by Kashyapa Muni. He populated the earth. And like that, language was introduced on this earth. Because, you know, generally, I mean, animals also have some sort of language, but it's not as advanced as human language. And another story also that is interesting about language, just to give you, to stress the importance of hearing, there is an Egyptian story, I think it's recited by Plato, that this man, he comes into the court and he said, I have this great invention that you can remember everything. And so he was introducing the scripture, the writing, Egyptian writing. And then the king, he commented, but with this, you forget everything. Like we write something down and then we don't have to think about it anymore. So he was still from the old age. Like 5,000 years ago, food was much better, air was better, water was better. And people could remember just by hearing. So this king was still from that age. And he could understand that actually this writing, it's going to be degrading for people. People will be less sharp. Like, you know, even 10, 20 years ago, people would calculate mainly through their head. But nowadays, at least if I speak for myself, I always use a machine, you know, because I just got lazy. So like that, we tend to forget. And so this Egyptian king, he also understood this importance of hearing. And of course, the Vedas, they're also called hearing, Shruti. And Bhaktisiddhanta Goswami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada's guru, he said that don't try to see a sadhu by your eyes, you try to see a sadhu by your ears. So we put very much stress on these eyes. And like I always remember this kung fu movie, and then this kung fu master, he says that don't trust what you see. And then he switched off the light. He was going on some, like some course, you know, with Paul standing in the room. And they said, and he switched off the light, trust what you know. So, but this is actually true, that we should trust what we know, not so much what we see. This seeing power, it's so much overrated, Americans say. You know, and the hearing, it's actually underrated. So we should try to see a sadhu by hearing. And this is, Prabhupada says, this was my secret of success, that I just followed the order of my spiritual master. I had so much faith in the order of my spiritual master, and this was the secret of my success. This is of course a very important verse, Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. Again, this Shrotriyam. Tatvigyartam Sagurum Eva Abhigachet Samitpani Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. So Shrotriyam means also hearing. So that is very, very important. And also in the Bhagavatam, Tashmat Gurum Prapatyate Jigyasu Shreya Uttamam Sapta Pare Chanisnatam Brahmani Upa Samashrayam. So that's Sapta Pare. Sapta means sound vibration, and Pare means para, means higher, means basically Krishna. So, so here also this friend is mentioned, Shrutadhar. So that is also, you know, that means hearing also, the Shrutadhar. It's also from Shruti. So, so we should try to put more stress on this hearing, this whole process. Evam para praptam imam reyarseyo vidu. It comes from knowledge, vidu. The Raja Rishis, they got this knowledge, this parampara, through vidu, through knowledge, through hearing the knowledge. So that is very, very important. In the Western society, Prabhupada explains, is inductive knowledge or empiric knowledge, knowledge through the senses. Inductive, it's also like with electricity, you know, induction. So you gather you through the senses you gather the knowledge, and then it leads you to a conclusion. This is the Western way of doing things, and the Vedic way is ascending process or deductive. Or descending. Like for instance, the idea with deductive, it comes from the word deduce, like making less. You have a thing, like for instance, Krishna is God, and we just accept it. Or the example that many times is given, man is mortal, and then the example is given, Socrates is a man, so you deduct it, and then therefore Socrates is mortal. But the karmis, so to speak, the scientists, they just research. Everybody is dying, so therefore man is mortal. But you ultimately, I mean, in theory, they know. But ultimately, you cannot really know like that. You cannot check everybody. Will he be dying? Like, according to us, I mean, ultimately, we agree everybody is, the body is dying. But, you know, the Vyasadev, according to us, is still alive. So they haven't researched Vyasadev. If they would know Vyasadev, they would become surprised, you see. So it's not perfect knowledge. This is the point. And then also Lord Krishna, he is saying that also in the seventh chapter, Tat Shrinu, you should try to hear. And we were just reciting this verse, Srinivanta Svakata Krishna. So this hearing, this is essential in our movement, that we learn knowledge through hearing. And like this morning, my friend, you were saying that you're a Bhagavad Gita man. Now, I don't, think I'm a Bhagavad Gita man, but we should definitely try to become Bhagavad Gita man or woman, or Srimad Bhagavatam man or woman, which means that we should just repeat, Prabhupada says, without subtracting and without adding. Or like we say in Vanipedia, copy and paste. You don't change anything. So that is what we should, that is the meaning of Bhagavad Gita man, that we just repeat that Sri Nu Krishna says, try to hear, you try to hear, or like Parikshit Maharaj, you just try to hear, like we're hearing now Srimad Bhagavatam, I just explained it, it's our very means of conquest. We just hear, and then, of course, we have here the Sankirtan devotees, we just repeat, Prabhupada said you should distribute the books on the merit of the book, you just repeat what you've heard in the classes, and then you're basically perfect, because you're repeating from the perfect person. And this is the whole idea of Parampara, that you just repeat what your guru, what the previous acharyas have been telling you. And if we do that, of course, because sometimes the so-called karmis or the scientists, they say, yeah, but you know, like we all played this game in the school, you go through the, you know, you tell something, you whisper in somebody's ear, and then at the end it's completely changed, and this is like their big proof that you see it doesn't work. But we have, first of all, we're not whispering, we're clearly speaking. Then we have Shastra, and we have Sadhu, Mahajano Yena Katha Sapanta, like that with the Mahajans. We can check if what we're doing is correct till what we're hearing from Guru. So it's a, you know, three checks we have. Like for instance, we have here this Bhagavatam. This has been read by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, by Gaurakishordas Babaji Maharaj, by Bhaktisiddhanta, and they did not find any fault in here. So we accept them as authority. They didn't find the need to change any Sanskrit. So we accept that. They're very pious persons, to say the least. They're very authoritative persons. So we accept their authority. And the scientists, they basically accept their senses as authority, which I already tried to explain. It will not lead to perfect knowledge. So I'll have to stop there. Thank you very much for attentively listening. Maybe there's some question or comment. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know exactly. I should have, studied that a little bit better. The southern gate of the city was known as Pitrihu, and through that gate, King Puranjan used to visit the city named Dakshina Panchala, accompanied by his friend Shrutadhar. Yeah, so Prabhu was explaining that you know, things will also be more clearly explained in what is that? Chapter 29?
Chapter 4, last verse.
Yeah. 28. Yeah, so chapter
last verse of 28.
Yes. 28, the last, yeah, thank you, Prabhu. So the last purport, there's explained, and then Prabhu also explained to me that the next chapter after that, the chapter 29, the king is asking for clarification, you know, of this chapter, of the whole allegory. I got so caught up in preparing that I forgot to, read the introduction, and that's just what I do. So I, maybe you can ask tomorrow. Maybe that speaker will be better prepared. But it's or you can study, like Prabhu is saying, the 29th chapter. Because it's not, I just checked it, it's not in that, because in like the last verse of the 28th chapter, there's all these terms explained. But this is not so much explained. I mean, basically, Pancha means five, so that probably, but now I'm a little bit speculating, refers to the five senses, and like I said, the Shrutadhar, it's about this hearing. Because that's what Prabhupada explains in the verse. The right ear is used for karma kanda, or fruit of activities. So that shrutadhar basically means hearing. And like Prabhupada explains, pitrihu. So because the friend leads him to the city, pitrihu, Prabhupada says it's the right ear. You see? Because it goes to pitriloka, which is, like I explained, it's the forefathers. It's considered karmakanda. People are still attached to their families. You see? So it's definitely not the left ear, because that is more for spiritual understanding. And that will lead you to Krishna loka. But like I explained, first, like Yesam Tvandakatam Papam, Janiyam Punya Karmanam, Te Dvandamo Vinirmukta. At first, you must be clear from pap, from sin. And then you'll become devotee. You see? And then gradually, you know, like we're all devotees here, but as I speak for myself, I have so many anarthas, so that we first have to clear that. And then we can go higher and higher. Like they said, this Bhakti Lata Beach, it will grow, will penetrate the universe. Yes, Ru?
What is Pitriloka you mentioned? You touched this topic from Bhagavad Gita. You mentioned also that it's the worship of the ancestors, the fathers, forefathers.
Yeah. I don't know. That I was also thinking that, because I also know that these so-called jungle people, they also worship ghosts or, you know, forest spirits like that. So that is, I don't know. But generally, Krishna explains very clearly, wherever you think of, that's where you will go. So if these forefathers are somewhere else, they didn't follow the Vedic system, because my understanding is if you're on Pitraloka, you basically follow the Vedic system or religious principles. So if these forefathers are somewhere else, like you say, they probably might end up there. And I don't know how they will go to Pitriloka then. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. It could be. But, you know, what we do know, because this is a little bit, you know, it's technical. What we do know, if you become a pure devotee, then all problems solved, because that is guaranteed. 10 generations before and 10 generations after, they will also go to Krishna Loka. So, I mean, that would be the best policy, just to become pure devotee. More question? Yes? I don't know. I mean, like I said, it is a gradual process. You have Shastra, Guru, you know, and then you check it, and it's a gradual process. If you doubtful, ultimately you should present it to a Guru. Like, what is the essence? And the Guru will tell you that, you know, this is important. Because we might stress one thing, but Yasya Prasad Bhagavad Prasad, the Guru says, now this is important, or the authority. You know, because this is an authority structure, the spiritual world also. You work under Radharani, and then there's so many gopis, and then, you know, we're somewhere there. So this authority structure, and if you please your authority, or if you please your Guru, then you'll also become pleased. Krishna will become pleased, and then you'll also become pleased. So if you're doubtful, you should check it. And, you know, like I said, Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. okay? I mean, yes, last question.
Oh. Yeah, I just read the passage the other day, and it explains that actually the hearing, what you hear, 3 years will actually determine what will be your future.
Mm.
Because if you hear from different many scriptures which are in different modes of karma, whatever you hear about, then there you will go. Because when you hear, you act according to what you hear. So basically, that's where your future will be. So therefore, it's very important to hear the Bhagavatam, because the Bhagavatam is supreme scripture. It's transcendental, and we'll go to the spiritual world and hear from Bhagavatam. That's why it's so important, because that will determine our future. That's why it's so dangerous to hear so many other things which are not Srimad Bhagavatam, because we will get, our consciousness will become polluted, we will act in the wrong way. But if we are very hearing Bhagavatam all the time, then we will act according to Bhagavatam. So that will be our future spiritual world.
Yeah, I think that's also answering your question a little bit more. You know, should
you
be.
Just adding to what you
said. Yeah, it should. Yeah. So we should be a little bit chaste, you know, reading Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and not read too many books, because then it becomes confusing, you know.
Because then you believe that, because then you accept other books and condemn it to different Vedas and all that.
Yeah.
You accept them as, you know, superior to Bhagavatam and all that.
Yeah, it's understood.
Bhagavatam is specifically meant to defeat all those.
Right.
Establish its own superiority over every other book in scripture. But as the second verse says, that Bhagavatam
represents
all kinds of dharma.
Kataiva dharma, cheating religion.
And also establishes what is
true. Yeah. Yeah, generally in ISKCON it's understood that you first read at least Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavad Gita, of course, and then you can also study other scriptures. But this should be like the basis. You had one more question for? Right, yeah, because that is what this verse is about. You said spiritual intellect and
material
intellect. Yeah, this is more about material intellect, karma kanda. So, but you know, like I said, Sridhar Maharaj, the commentator of Bhagavatam, he explains that the right ear is stronger. So first we should have the material intellect, first, you know, basic moral principles, Yesum Tantakatam Papam, and then gradually, that we'll discuss more tomorrow, we'll start to hear more from, you know, the spiritual intellect. It first needs to be clear, and then we can more hear spiritual intellect. Then you start to chant, and then, like Prabhu is saying, we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, which is, of course, now most elevated. I think I should stop there. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.